Hey, everybody, welcome to Running Highs and Community Ties, the official podcast for Hills for ATL. I am Lindsay Sizemore, your host, and I am so excited for our next guest who is with us tonight. We have some exciting things to uncover about her life and her story and everything that she's working on. This is episode 14. I'm really, really happy to be able to finish off this season with this amazing woman that's in front of me. I'm just so glad that she was able to make it here with her busy schedule. Again, you guys, if you're not familiar with this podcast, we are taking people's stories and we're lifting them up. The Hills for ATL community is filled with talent and diversity and amazing stories that we don't always get the chance to hear in our one-hour workout. So sit back, enjoy the podcast we have for you guys tonight. Tonight we have the amazing Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. I know that you had a busy day today. You were finishing up projects and, I just want to kind of dive in. I wish I could talk to you like all night long because I think the first time we actually did meet, we probably sat there and talked for maybe like an hour.
Right.
And then I kept thinking of things I wanted to keep saying. And I think that you were the whole reason I even went to that holiday party that night because I couldn't stop thinking about how this was such a special woman, and I can't wait to learn more about you. So
thank you.
Thanks for being on here.
Thank you so much.
So tell me a little bit about who you are.
So I always start with I'm an Army brat. Like, that's a huge part of my life, my lifestyle, my childhood. So both my parents were in the military, grew up in Germany. I have siblings. I'm an aunt to twins. I'm a lifelong athlete. I've played sports my entire life. I've been a coach, and I am a construction project manager currently. So my life has always kind of been in the architecture and construction industry. So
construction and a woman. I love that. That's exactly what at first, I think you were wearing a blazer.
Yes.
And it had like this pin on it. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, wait a second. And I've got to tell this girl that I am a roofing project manager.
Right.
And I think it was just like the rest was history for
me. And
there
was a great connection. I'm like, oh,
good. I know.
I don't meet women in construction every day.
Yeah. And you're not just in construction. You are literally leading some pretty big projects, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay. So how long have you been in Atlanta?
Been in Atlanta for about 5 years.
5 years.
Uh-huh.
Do you love it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I've been in Georgia for 15. So I was in Savannah first. So I've gotten the extremes of Georgia, of the beach and slower, vibey living, and then fast paced. I get a little bit of both. So,
yeah. Awesome. I love Savannah as well. Mm-hmm. Definitely humid.
It is.
I've had a few races myself down there that were pretty memorable.
Right.
okay. So you are in Atlanta and you are doing construction just about every day.
Yep.
Sounds like you're really passionate about this job.
I love it. It's what I went to school for. It's went to North Carolina A&T for architectural design and went to Savannah State University to get my master's in urban planning. So it's always been my plan to be in this career path.
Who, like, were you a child and you just realized that you like to see things built from just an idea? Is that like how it was? Or was there somebody in your life that also did this and you were like, that's it?
So literally growing up, no one in my family that I was aware of was doing this. But growing up in Germany, I had an art teacher, and whenever he would get mad at us, he would send us outside and make us draw pieces of the cathedrals in our town. And we lived in one of the oldest cities in Germany. So we had some really cool buildings, and for everyone else it was punishment. For me, I was loving it. And so that kind of, to me, is the first moment that sparked my passion for architecture.
That's amazing. Yeah. And so what environments, what areas have you done this construction work in? Mm-hmm. If you say like some hazardous areas,
yeah.
And like, did you say prisons?
Yes.
So tell me about that.
So it's very, I have the privilege of the type of jobs that I've taken. I'm not kind of stuck in one area of construction. I get to do everything. So I've done construction in the private sector and also for the government. So, you know, if they're like, you're going to build a high hazard dam today, then that's what I was working on. If you're going to go in and renovate a prison and make it a rehabilitation place so they can come back out into the community and be great citizens with trades and jobs, then I would do that. And we're most recently, I'm finishing up a basketball arena at Georgia Southern University, and I'm doing Spelman's Center for Innovation in the Arts. So I get to do a lot of just cool and different projects. So I love that.
I can see how you love it. It's like, for me, I love when I have like, you know, a different, I don't want the same schedule or the same conversation over and over again. I'm a very adventurous person, not just in like actual like adventures, like in the mountains and stuff like that, but even with work and in passion. That is so cool.
I'm also a Gemini, so I'm like, I have to have some, we got to change it up a little bit.
Yeah, it has to be changed up, but then you thrive. You thrive in that kind of, that kind of purpose, you know? And that is so cool about the prison, by the way. Like, I do a lot of reentry work. That is my passion. And so I'll have to pick your brain a little bit about that later. And just being able to just show up. So do you, like, manage, like, big groups of people? And, I mean, how is that as a woman?
So I technically, I'm a project manager for a program management firm. And so that is when an owner hires us to help them manage their entire project. So we assist them with hiring the architects, the contractors, the subs, the, you know, every part of a project, every person in a project that you need to build a building. We assist them in hiring them and managing the whole project, the budget, the schedule. So these are big projects, lots of people to manage. And yeah, being a woman, being a person of color, being a little petite, you know, there's a lot of things
to
deal with.
How tall are you?
I am 4'11".
Nice.
A nice tall 4'11", though. So
I could probably, like, throw you up in the air and do a one-man stunt.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a part of my life, too. So
so you did a cheerleading?
I was a cheerleader, and I was the flyer, so I was the one thrown in the air.
Yeah, I could have thrown you in the air. Yeah. I did competition cheerleading growing up as well.
So I did competitive cheer. I coached competitive cheer. I'm still a national certified judge in cheerleading. So that was a huge part of my life and currently still is too. So
yes, I always looked up to my coaches so much. Coaches and mentors like that were everything during my upbringing. And so that's, that's a really amazing position to hold, especially when those girls are needing to look up to someone.
Absolutely.
And especially when you had the experience and you had so much fun doing it. It just really translates, and it makes, for people like me, I mean, I will never forget my coaches.
Right.
You know?
And for them to see you do different things in life. So I was a cheerleading coach, but I was also building buildings while I was coaching. And so to see those different dynamics where you don't only have to do one thing, you can be diverse and you don't have to do the things that are traditional for women. You can do whatever you want to do.
You're just a role model. You're a role model.
I try to be.
You definitely are one, especially for those that you coach and for those around you.
Yeah.
And for women, period. You know, let's just go all the way there.
Thank you.
Okay. So how long did you say you've been doing construction?
It's been about 16 or 17 years now.
17 years?
Wow. Yeah. So it's literally been what I chose to do, and every job, every role I've taken has been within the industry. So
I bet you are like in a power position and respected and have so many things. I know you probably learned a lot over the years and you figured out what doesn't work, and not just with like the actual service of the job, but like emotionally and mentally figuring out, hey, this doesn't work for me when I work in this kind of environment and around this particular type of person or with this many deadlines. And I just think that's when you stay in something that long and you gain that type of experience, like that wisdom is just so important.
It is. And just knowing yourself and being confident, like I'm small in stature, but I take up space. So I feel like I've known that I've wanted to be in this industry, so no one's going to do anything to make me feel like I can't be there. Yeah. So whether we're in a little trailer or on top of the roof, I'm taking up my space. I'm sharing the knowledge I have, but also respecting the experts in the room and what everybody has to offer and bring to a project.
So. No, and that's exactly why you're successful, is because you continue to learn.
Yeah.
And then I think it's also cool when you are working somewhere that you actually want to be here. You want to be here and you want to do that.
Right.
There are so many managers, there's so many bosses, there's so many people that absolutely do not want to be where they are. Yeah. And you can feel it, even if they don't say it. Some of them actually say it.
Right.
But when they don't want to be there, it actually, like, it spills over on everyone around them.
It's toxic.
It's just like, this is not how we grow as a company or an organization, because if you had a group of people just like you that want to be here, then you guys are going to be off the charts with what you can produce.
Right.
And this should be the goal. But that's awesome. Yeah. So All right, let's get to the point. I can keep talking about all of that. But one of the biggest things is I want to know how you got introduced to Hills for ATL. Mm-hmm. I want to know a little bit about what that first experience was like. So what was that like for you? How did you hear about us?
So initially heard about Hills through Instagram, through social media. But also, again, been an athlete my whole life, so I always work out in some capacity, whether it's hot yoga, running, I'm always working out. So I decided I wanted to do the 75 hard challenge. And wow. Part of that is one of your workouts has to be outside, and that's during the winter time. And so I'm like, what workout do I want to do? Where can I go where it's going to feel safe to do it? Because it's going to get dark earlier, that kind of thing. And so I found out about it. There's a 6:30 a.m. workout. And I was like, that's where I'm going to go. Piedmont Park, you know, down the street. So, and there's other people there to freeze with me, you know, because everyone, all of your friends, they might want to do different types of workouts, but everybody's not willing to do it at that level. Yeah. In the cold. Yeah. Yeah. So my outdoor workout of the day on Wednesday was going to be Hills. So the first day I go, I don't know anybody. I am like layered, wrapped up. I'm wearing a mask, so I'm not breathing in all the cold air. So like no one can see who I am
right.
at all. So I'm doing, I'm just there to work out. Like I'm the coachable kid. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to go do. I'm going to give 100%. And so, so I was just working out and then left and then dashed to go to work. So for the first couple of weeks or months, it wasn't me interacting with people. It was purely, this is the only time I have to get this workout in. So I'm going to come here and do that and then leave. And so
the 75 hard is very like, first of all, respectful. Like I've never done it, but I have friends that have done it. And I like hold my breath when they're like on, you know, 50 and 60, day 60 and all of these things. And it's like so intense. So when you are focused like that, especially at the beginning, because you really want to stay committed, like I can see how you would show up and be like, I got to get this workout done.
Yeah.
Like period.
It is focused through the discipline. Off.
Yep. Consistency. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. So you're in and out and then you focus on the people. But
when it started to get a little warmer outside, you know, the mask came off, the scarves, the layers, all the stuff. And then you kind of see who people are, you know? And then when I was able to start going in the evening and when other days of the week were offered, then that's when I'm now consistently seeing the same people over and over again. And because I'm a former athlete, I feel like I lean towards being in the group with the former athletes or current athletes because I like to be competitive with myself mainly. Mm-hmm. And I like to be pushed. And so, you know, you have, you know, I'm 4'11", you got the 6'5 guy. I don't mind standing right next to him and try to run up the hill as fast as he does too with my long legs. So that developed into consistency of people cheering each other on. I'm a cheerleader in real life and just in my heart. So I naturally will encourage.
Everyday life.
Yeah, everyday life. So I'm going to encourage somebody. And that resulted in them encouraging me as well. And then you start forming these real friendships and accountability partners and all of that I'm like just super grateful for.
So tell me a little bit about that accountability. And we all know that accountability like really helps us become a better and better mm-hmm. you know, person,
right.
Helps, especially doing 75 hard. Like, I mean, accountability is like everything. There are days where you do not want to go. You do not want to do it. You don't want to do one more. Mm-hmm. And then you see the person next to you and then they're doing that one more or they're saying all the way to the top.
Right. Exactly.
Kelly, make sure you go all the way to the top, you know, things like that. Like it's all out of like this loving intention mm-hmm. and it's out of, I believe in you.
Yep.
And so I'm asking how this day, how did you finish today? What time was it when you finally finished reading that one or page or whatever the rules are of 75 hard?
Like, right.
So tell me a little bit about accountability and what that looked like, maybe what that meant to you and how it helped you.
Well, it's very interesting when it's new friends because you have your friends, your family who hold you accountable in different ways or different spaces. So meeting new people, some of the people, we just started a text group. They're like, oh, you're going to be a part of this text group too. And that's what we're talking about working out. Like, are you going today? And I'm the person, I travel for work also. So I have projects that aren't in Atlanta. So I'd literally be coming back in town. I would get there right before Hills started. And then someone texted me and said, Kelly, you're coming to Hills, right? And I'm like, yes, I'm coming. Okay, because the clothes are always in the car. So I think just the extra motivation, because I'm cheering other people on and motivating other people. But the moments that I needed, there's always you know, somebody there, and it came in different ways because you've got, like, you know, Lewis, our Hills boxer, you know, cursing me out and saying, Kelly, get your ass in the front with me, you know, and that sometimes you needed that. And then, like, Marcy's like, Kelly, are you going to work out today? And so just having these different people and friends that we're talking about the same thing. So even though we all have different stuff going on in our lives, mm-hmm. like we are like, no, but we still are going to work out no matter what.
Yeah.
And having friends of different age groups, because all of that makes exactly. it different. What's important, how they're going to touch you or motivate you, is very different. So
it definitely is.
Yeah.
Like when I started to come as well, like, and I saw the coaches, I saw their personalities, I saw the push. Sometimes for me, like, and I go to a couple other gyms as well, but like, I have this huge respect for the coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Always have. I said that yeah. when I was like young and stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of me that naturally wants to push myself
mm-hmm.
because they're present.
Right.
You know, I'll go out there and push myself and do, you know, crazy things mm-hmm. on my own. But there's something about like the silent accountability that's just right there.
Absolutely.
You know, and then G's got these cameras everywhere. Right. And so I'm like, okay, I better like maybe try to smile while I'm dying. I pick random people and they don't know me until the very top because I'll be like, hey, I just tried to race you.
Right.
I was like, I don't know. Can I just do that? Even if I'm running on the street too, if I see somebody I'm like, oh, okay, this will make it a little different right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can keep up with this person.
Right.
You know, and they may just be way better or way taller. Like you're saying, yeah. those burpee broad jumps, they're going to go way faster right. than someone that's 4'11".
Exactly. And I'm going to do way more than them.
Yeah.
They're going to do 5 and they're at the top of the hill. I'm going to do 25.
Yeah, exactly. And then over time that people start learning your name.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh yeah, there's Kelly. There's, you know, there she is. Go Kelly. Let's go, you know, right. all the way, you know. And then all of a sudden it becomes this community.
Okay.
It becomes this thing. And it's all good and it's all healthy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, everybody leaves, they come home, they feel better about themselves. And, you know, there just can't be more of a need
mm-hmm.
today than for healthy relationships and healthy activities.
Absolutely.
There are so many unhealthy things that have just kind of taken over because
mm-hmm.
life is hard. There's anxiety and depression and everybody's in a rat race. And there's right. so many things that everybody experiences. Mm-hmm. And so I am just truly all about, even if it's just something small, even if it's just an hour,
mm-hmm.
just the positive, healthy ways just to take care of ourselves. Obviously, yeah. we're talking about how we're mentally taking care of ourselves, mm-hmm. but physically taking care of the only body that we get.
Absolutely. You know? It's just as important.
You know? Yeah. I've even experienced accountability like when, like right now, my hamstring is kind of injured mm-hmm. right now. I have people, like I did not do the mile crusher on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I was present to support,
right.
you know, and just say, hey, but like, you know, the amount of people that are just like encouraging me,
mm-hmm.
making sure that I have what I need and things like that. Like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. like before I knew about Hills for ATL, yeah. I didn't really like, I had people that were, you know, there for me, but like, yeah. this is a little different because yeah.
different lane.
Yeah. They know that this is like, we're all trying to better each other, even when people are down and even when they can't give 100% mm-hmm. for some reason.
Absolutely. And I just absolutely love that. Yeah. And that's a huge part of my friends, Megan and Delaney, like they always will call me too. So Saturday specifically, I had such a busy week, was traveling all week. I was tired. I'm like, do I feel like getting up and going on Saturday? Do I actually want to sleep in? And they're like, Kelly, we're doing the final mile crusher, right? And I'm like, we are. We definitely are. And then my cousin came for the first time, or us being there at the same time together. And he was like, he's like, you're going to be there? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be there. And so I wanted to make sure, like, I'm not going to encourage him to come and not show up. So
yeah.
So I got to see all my usual suspects and be there. And I remember my cousin, when I was done, I always stand on the side and like cheer everybody else on that's coming by. Mm-hmm. And he's like, are you part of like the Hill staff or something? I was like, no. I was like, I know that I need encouragement even at the yeah. very end. Like everybody needs that. So I was like, I just do it because I know that they need it. Like this is that moment. So, but
yes.
And same with the coaches, I also like that they can do the same thing that they're asking you to do. And I was that type of coach as a cheerleading coach. Like everything I asked them to do, I could also do. And that is not always the case in every situation. But it is very motivating, and there's this added accountability. Like I can't say now I can't do it when this person who might be 20 years older than me, or you know, has injuries or whatever the case is, they're still doing it. So why not?
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. There really is something to that. They, you know, I started creating workouts and stuff like that for some groups of people over at Faneo Fitness last year. But the thing about my style was that I'm going to be there right beside you doing it next to you.
Right.
I want to go there with you and then we make it out together, you know, kind of thing. And so you're right. I've never actually thought about that dynamic too.
Right.
So you're having a blast now. I'm super connected. Lots of friends, accountabilities, you're getting better and better. Mm-hmm. And so what are you doing today that is like bringing you a sense of purpose?
Mm-hmm.
It's like really like lighting up your passion. And I know that you have some pretty incredible titles right now, but I just want you to share a little bit about some of the things that are bringing you purpose that you're working on right now.
So I'm involved in different boards and different community organizations. The one that just is such an important one to me in my life is I'm the president of the National Association of Women in Construction, the Atlanta chapter.
Pause. Did everybody just hear what you just said? Say it slow one more time.
I'm the president of the National Association of Women in Construction, Atlanta chapter.
All right, women. Yeah. Whoever's listening, this is a super empowering statement and an amazing person to get connected to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's, again, there's not a lot of women in construction. Like you and I meeting, the interaction and the moment is how I interact whenever I meet women in the industry, because you just don't. I can be on a project in 2024 in the city of Atlanta and be the only woman, the only person of color on the site sometimes. And people are shocked by that because we're in a big city, a melting pot city, but that's kind of the reality of it. So having this special organization to be able to pull everybody together. So maybe your day to day, you're not with people that can relate to you, but then we have, you know, monthly meetings, we have mixers, we have galas, we have lots of cool events. We also do stuff on regional and national levels. We're currently the largest chapter in the country. So we have fun together and we can just relate and understand each other, advise each other, help each other get projects, get jobs. I mean, it's just this great network of women.
I am coming to that.
Yes.
I'm going to be a part of this.
Absolutely.
There is something truly about like when you find women that are in an industry where it's male predominantly, to just be able to, we're 1000% capable of these jobs, but just finding other women that can actually relate to some of the things, just understand, not even fix, but like understand, and just the understanding that you're not alone here.
Exactly.
It is a strength to find those sorts of connections.
Right.
And so I can't wait to actually come and be a part of this.
Yes, we have a holiday luncheon next week, so I'm going to send you the information for that.
I'll be in Argentina, but I am still...
We've got a year full of things, so I'll send you everything. So you come to all of it.
Definitely do that. You said it's the largest chapter in the country?
In the country right now, yeah.
How many people do we have?
It's almost 200 people.
Wow.
So there's... but they're all over. And again, but that also shows you... Like that, we are the largest, but that number is not ridiculously big, but that shows you that there's not that many
women. And there's a need.
There's a need for that.
I think there's three, we're working towards being a $1 billion roofing company right now, which is just crazy to even say.
Yeah.
But there is, in Georgia, there's like three other women in our entire company that actually climb.
Right.
It's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's just that that community is also really special too, because just like understanding how to handle certain situations, negotiating raises or your schedule because you maybe decided to have a family and you still want to do the same job the way you did it. So there's just so many benefits from that group. And so that's something I will always be a part of, whether it's regional, national, local, I will always be a part of that organization. It's super special.
And again, the role model piece that I was talking about, and for the children, and being able to like show them that you can do so many different things. So there's just so many parts to the industry as well. So I'm sure you get to see people make decisions in just really, especially 17 years of experience.
Right.
But you've seen a lot of people find jobs.
Yeah, and there's so many different ones that I didn't even know about as, you know, starting off or as a college student. But yes, to the youth, to younger people, we do a lot of during Construction Inclusion Week, we go and talk to kids. We talk to high school students, all these different people, talk about what our jobs are. and explain to them that there's this whole industry. If you are in accounting, there's accounting in construction. You know, there's pretty any job you can do, there's a version of it that's connected to construction. And people don't realize that because you see like the guys on the side of the road sweating and people are like, I don't want to do that. And it's like, that's one version and that's still honorable and an amazing job. But there's also so many other things that you can do and that you can do based off of like your abilities and your knowledge and your strengths. And so talking to youth, I've got a ton of mentees and I keep, even once they get to wherever they want to be in life, I still keep in touch with them because we're always all figuring out what we want to do next. And you need somebody to talk to about that. So
yeah, I love that. I love that because you're right. The kids look out the window at the stoplights, their parents are driving. They think that that's just construction, you know, but this entire world, it was a lot of minds and a lot of people that came together to even build the things that we have today.
Absolutely.
And a lot of it could be really fun and really call to a kid. Mm-hmm. And so it sounds like what you're doing is super educational.
Yep.
And so that brings you joy. And I think whatever brings you joy in life, you need to keep that always in your life.
Absolutely.
Because I know those days are not always easy sometimes.
They're not, especially your job, because that's what we do most of the time. We are working most of the time. And so that needs to be something that you love, because if you have to spend most of your day there, most of your week there, you don't want to dread that every day.
No, not at all. So speaking of that, how do you take care of yourself? Tell me a little bit about your self-care.
So I'm not always the best at it, I'll admit. You know, I have to like make sure I squeeze it in where I can. But one thing is when I wake up in the morning, I pray every time when I wake up in the morning about how my day is going to go. That's a huge thing for me. That's something my family was big on. So I start my day off with that because I'm like, that's positive. That's going to make it go better. And then I make my bed right away. That's the army brat in me. It's like, make your bed. But the other part is like, boom, I've just accomplished something today. Like just off of doing those two things. And so I feel like I'm a box checker. When I accomplish something, it motivates me to keep doing more. And so
that is definitely the military in you, yeah, for sure.
Right.
But I love it.
Yeah. And so that starts it off. And, but I think things like of course, working out is a part of my self-care. Like that makes me feel good. That makes me have good energy. That makes me positive. It also makes me like the way I look and how I feel, all of those things. But I read about, usually read one book per month. That's a huge thing to me. I'm a big reader. I squeeze in massages and cryotherapy. I feel like recovery is really big. Really important to be able to keep doing this and just keep working out in all the different ways I want to do that. Mm-hmm. Try to get, you know, rest and naps and things like that. It's a little harder sometimes, but I think the biggest thing is like recovery, doing things you enjoy, spending time with family and friends or my Hills friends or whatever, all of that I think is a part of like self-care. And then I get my nails done and I do just things that make me feel good about myself, because if I feel smart, strong, and like healthy and beautiful, all of that makes me feel good about myself. And that's
going to exude and translate to anybody in any room you walk in.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that is, and I went through a time in my life where I felt like guilty, mm-hmm, for like, oh, I'm going to go spend half the day doing my nails and getting massages and things like that. Mm-hmm. But I have a holy perspective.
Right.
You know, like I'm doing this so that I can feel full, mm-hmm, so that I can give what I have on the inside now.
Right.
Because if I don't have that, I can't give it. And my whole outlook on life is I want to bring love and light to people, mm-hmm, and I want to bring joy to other people. But if I'm depleted and I'm exhausted and I need 8 hours of sleep, then that's what I need.
Yeah.
You know, and it's become, especially I think we talked about this offline, mm-hmm, but as the older we get, like the more, the easier it is, mm-hmm, to draw those boundaries.
Absolutely.
And to be like, nope, I'm good. I'm going to bed. I don't need to go to that anniversary party. I do not need to go to this. I am just going to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll start again tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know?
Because even if you need a break and you're like, man, I just need to go on a 1 month vacation. Well, that's not realistic all the time. But if I know that if I just go and get to go to the sauna for a few hours, that's going to make me feel better. Sometimes it's the little things that can keep you going until you get a moment where you're like, okay, now I can take this long vacation, or now I can go spend all this time with my friends. But in between, you can't always wait till the big moment. You've got to do it in between along the way.
The journey's happening now.
It's happening. Whether you want it to or not, it's happening.
I am a big believer in like, I don't want to live with regret. Yeah. And I also, when I do things, I want to be happy doing them. I don't want to be like, okay, I'm finally here at this dinner, but I really don't want to. All I can think about is how tired I am. All I got to get up in the morning.
Right.
Instead of like going into something like that, like battling those emotions,
mm-hmm.
if I've taken care of myself
mm-hmm.
and I've cleaned my house
yep.
and I've done things, like I feel a lot better. If I've eaten the right things, I'm feeling a lot better.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right?
And I just think that self-care, one thing the reason we talk about that is because we can't be the people that we want to be without first taking care of ourselves.
Yeah, without filling our own cups.
It's just like the simplest yeah. concept ever, but yet we overextend ourselves day after day after day.
Absolutely.
And so I think it's fun for people to learn from people like you what you do, you know, for your self-care.
Yeah.
Unashamed.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for me, and I'm happy doing it. So I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely. and one of those things with working out, because a lot of people say I don't have time to work out. And or I'm busy, I have this job, I have that family. I get it. I understand all of it. But for me, it becomes a meeting on my calendar. So if someone says, are you available at 6:30? No, I already have a meet. I'm already obligated. I have a schedule. And that's usually a Hills day. And of course, there's room to move around that a little bit. But I'm like, I have to do that because that keeps me motivated. That keeps me happy and feeling healthy. And like, I'm a vegetarian, not necessarily self-care piece, but I eat healthy. So that's great. I feel good. And people are like, I don't know how, like, why do you choose to do that? But I feel good. So I'm going to do all the things that make me feel good. Right. But yes. That's what I can control. So,
yeah. And yeah. It's like, I'm done doing the things that make me feel bad. But, you know, of course, we still have to learn things and, like, you know, the relationships go through the stuff.
Right.
And stuff. You know, we hold on a little longer probably sometimes than we should and stuff like that. But, like,
yeah.
Then we just, when we take that deep breath and we just let it go, we realize, I'm going to be happy with my life. I'm going to find joy and I'm just going to be okay, you yeah. know? And sometimes you even have to do that. I'm sure you do as well. Being like a project manager, like the perfectionist
mm-hmm.
stuff comes in, you know, and I have to learn to just not take things so serious sometimes.
Yes.
You know,
you don't always have to be the project manager. Like in yeah. life, you don't have to run everything.
You don't always have to do everything either.
Mm-hmm. That too.
You know, right. that. Mm-hmm. I overcommit to things.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm definitely guilty of that.
Yeah. So, Kelly, tell me a little bit, you know, you are clearly a leader and I could go on and on and on about, you know, how committed you have been to just to build the life that you're super proud of. I'm proud of you as well. And I just met you.
Yeah.
But I know that there has been some things that you've had to overcome.
Okay.
And so what is a challenge that you're proud of yourself for overcoming?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you do it?
So 2009, Great Depression. I think that impacted so many different people's lives in such a, you know, major way, and some people in traumatic ways. But so mine's not that traumatic, but still like life-changing. But it was my first job out of college. I was very proud of it, very excited. And then they had to let people go because of just everything going on in the world. And I was the last hired, so the first fired. That was kind of the mentality. And I remember being devastated that day, called my sister. She leaves work, comes to my house, and she lets me be sad for a few minutes. And then it's like, all right, now let's revise your resume and let's start sending this out. And we did it that day. Like, there was no, like, you get to be sad for a week. Like, we're going to jump back in right away.
Mm.
And I needed that. And I'm that person for a lot of people as well. And so she was that for me, also a cheerleader. So it's just natural. But
she older or younger?
She's older, 2 years okay. older. So, but yeah, so that was a huge piece in me jumping back into it. And I just was applying to a bunch of things in my industry related things. And then I get this text message from somebody in life that I would not necessarily go to look for jobs or things like that. And they were like, hey, I heard about this opportunity for head cheerleading coach position in Savannah. You should check it out. Well, that wasn't a part of my like plan for my life.
Right.
I was like, oh, well, when I have kids one day, I'll be a cheerleading coach again. I'll do that again. But right now I was like, this is, you know, this architecture, construction, like I love this. That's what I wanted. That's what I went to school for. And so we, my sister is like, Kelly, you don't have a job right now. So why not look into it and just see? You've cheered your entire life. So why not check it out and see what happens? So I did. I ended up meeting a person who is, you know, an amazing, became an amazing mentor to me, Marilyn Suggs. And she was like, you're exactly what we need and what we're looking for. You cheered in the division level that we're trying to grow to. We want to be competitive. You did that. You won national championships. Like, you are exactly what we want. That was my interview. So, like, that's not usually the energy you're getting at an interview, even if they like you. Right. They're holding back a little bit.
Right.
So I kind of knew I was supposed to be there. Like, it felt like this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Felt like aligned.
Absolutely. Even though it wasn't a part of my original plan. So I get down to Savannah.
So that's how you came to Georgia.
That's how I came to Georgia.
See, yes. You never know.
You never know, yeah.
Okay.
And Georgia wasn't a part of my plan of places I was going to live. So right. So I get down to Georgia. Immediately, they're like, oh, we need your real resume. Because I sent them a cheerleading resume. It's a cheerleading job. And then they see my real resume. And they're like, oh, we also need an architectural designer here. Can you do that too?
I was Are like, you serious?
That's what I went to school for. Yeah. So... It was like divine intervention, like all of these things just like lined up, and it was, I'm supposed to be there. And it also was kind of a mentality of, I want to go to grad school. There's a great grad school down there. So I'll go down there and at least for grad school, and then that'll be it. I ended up staying there for 10 years and being, doing a lot of different roles within the architectural side of the job, but also being the head cheerleading coach of Savannah State University and being a cheerleading coach for multiple teams at Cheer Savannah All-Stars. So it just became this huge architectural cheerleading whirlwind life in Savannah.
And it just was like some random person that like reached out to you. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show you when a huge change, like you're losing a position, mm-hmm. you know, you got straight to work
right
after. Yeah, I mean, thanks to your sister, mm-hmm. and you jumped straight in instead of like spending months feeling sad. I can't believe this Absolutely. Happened to me.
Right.
You immediately was like, well, what can I do about it? Mm-hmm. This isn't going to take me out.
Right.
And you tapped into that resiliency, mm-hmm. And you just kept going. And I right. think that is, that if anything, you know, I always relate it to races, like, and I'm doing it right now for the race next week. But mentally, miles happen from single steps.
Yes.
And so absolutely. You just keep stepping, mm-hmm. and you did with this new opportunity. You could have said no. Mm-hmm. You know, you never know where you'd be from here. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Might not really. Right.
So you got to Atlanta. You didn't give up. You kept pushing. Mm-hmm. And it turned into being something that blew you away.
Yeah. And kind of how that, the Great Depression was like that rip the Band-Aid moment that led to that, that kept happening. And so I was in Savannah, and then me coming to Atlanta was... somebody just throwing something out there like, hey, if you ever want this type of job, I just got promoted. There's spaces open. You can come. And I'm like, I'm looking. I have a different direction. I have a different plan already. And then I was like, well, I'll just apply just in case to see what happened. And then it was another situation of just falling in your lap and saying, this is the time for another life change. And you're supposed to go, even though this feels comfortable. You built all these things here, but no, it's time to go to the next thing. And so it's happened a couple of times. And that's when I know I'm doing the right thing and I'm supposed to do. And then I have this great support system of family behind me every time that happens. And my family, you know, definitely during that time period of a layoff was like, you know, if it doesn't work out, you can't find a job, you can come home. But I was raised to not come home. I was raised like, when you're an adult, go live your life and figure things out.
But to have that yep. comfort and that security and that support
yep.
is everything.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. They play a huge role in you continuing to chase your dream, is like saying that.
Right.
Absolutely. It would have been different. It would have been against what you had, you know, been raised to do, but mm-hmm. to know that you had a home base.
Absolutely.
You know, that is something that if I ever have children, they will always know mm-hmm. they have a home base.
Yep.
You know, and so it sounds like family, it sounds like community has mm-hmm. played a huge role
yep.
in supporting you. And so I'm going to ask you one more question
okay.
here. you know, we're all go-getters. You know, we're ambitious. We're going after things in life, mm-hmm. right? We have all these like small goals, big goals, you know, but what are you currently like running towards right now? Like, where do you see yourself going?
Okay.
And then of course, how can we Hills for ATL support you in this? I want to cheer you on.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to ask you about that thing.
Yeah.
So is there anything that comes to mind that you were just running towards in this moment, mm-hmm. Specifically, or if it's a little bit more broad, that's fine too.
I think it's a little bit more broad right now. I feel like I'm this very much like sowing seeds moment. And so like, I want to continue to be a leader in the construction industry, in the industry as a whole, but also in my current role at my job. Like, I want to continue to grow in that space. I'm in a really great environment where they are wanting me to succeed as much as I want to succeed as an individual. And then on the side, I've always been connected to politics. And because I believe in community so much, I believe in there being people that are there for the community in spaces. And so it's been consulting, managing entire campaigns from judges to mayors to House of Representatives, all these different roles. And it's not just something to do or have some type of clout. It's because I believe in them and I think they are the right people to lead our community in the right direction. So I'll always be connected to that and want to continue doing it. And I think, you know, I'm a family person. I want to have my own family one day. I'm going to get married and have babies and we can all do Hills together or something.
Yes.
So that's definitely, I have these great professional goals, but I'm very much a personal family person and like to live life and experience great moments as well.
And you will. You 1,000% will be doing little baby Hills workouts.
Right.
Maybe I'll have one with you.
We can do it at the same time. We can go build buildings and then run hills together.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I love that about just it within politics, which it's very, very dicey, but mm-hmm. you know, world.
Right.
But there are amazing people that really do believe in this community.
Okay.
And I'm definitely one of them.
Sure.
And so who knows, we'll be up there advocating for who knows what. And,
absolutely.
And I cannot wait to join you guys in the Women in Construction movement.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Hills for ATL is excited that you're a part of this with us.
Mm-hmm.
And so thank you for opening up about your story.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody is watching this tonight or listening to this in your car, and you have any questions about anything that Kelly shared with us tonight, she is here. Kelly, where do you want to say your Instagram or what do you promote with the construction?
So LinkedIn is huge for me for
LinkedIn.
That. That's where I post tons of work-related things so people can see the buildings and all of that stuff. So just Kelly Fletcher on LinkedIn with an IE. And so that's a huge place where I kind of push that and talk about that more.
Perfect.
So,
and yeah. If anybody has not been to Hills for ATL, I know our seasons are kind of ending. Please get excited. It's only a few months away. We're going to start back everything. We'd love to see you out there at a party, at a workout. We have a really good time getting to know our community here in Atlanta. And so thanks again for tuning in to our podcast 14. Have a good night.